Shalom, everybody, and we welcome you to this week's 5-Minute Update, where we examine the past week's news events as it relates and pertains to major Bible prophecies of the end of days, where we particularly focus on the prophecies of the nations dividing the land of Israel, Joel chapter 3, verse 2, and the city of Jerusalem, Zechariah in chapter 14 in verse 2, wherein that will result in the judgment of the nations. The judgment of the nations is mainly twofold. It's war between the nations and its worldwide economic collapse. From war between the nations and the economic collapse, the world will restructure itself and bring in one world government with one world currency. That would be the fulfillment of Revelation in chapter 13. Meanwhile, it's during this time that the God of Israel will begin the process of Israel. He will unite Ephraim and Judah, Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 15 through 28. The Messiah will be glorified. He will set his feet down on the Mount of Olives and set up his kingdom, wherein he will be teaching the Torah to all nations out of Jerusalem or Zion, as we're told in Isaiah in chapter 2 and verse 3. This week, we have significant developments regarding the peace process. I believe that in the coming week, in the coming month, we are at the crossroads regarding the peace process. And particularly, what is going to be determined that will have major ramifications regarding the peace process itself is the decision by the Israeli government regarding what they're going to do about the 10-month settlement freeze in the West Bank, which is scheduled to expire on September the 26th. Now, normally, I have about 5, 6, 7 articles giving you a weekly update regarding the situation with Israel in the peace process. But there is so much happening now that just from this past week, and in order for you to explain what's going on in the peace process, I got approximately 20 articles to share with you regarding the situation, the peace process, to explain how things are. And before I go through and read every article, I'd like to first try to summarize what these articles are going to say. First of all, the Palestinians have stated that unless Israel extends the settlement freeze in the West Bank, and that it would also include East Jerusalem as well, that they will not go forward with the direct talks. Therefore, the Palestinian position is going to create a crisis. Now, in essence, that was their position in order to agree to direct talks. The United States forced them to agree to direct talks, but they're still maintaining what was regarded as preconditions. First of all, it will be interesting to see, number one, what Netanyahu decides. He's going to decide as early as this coming week, and he has as late as up through September the 26th. But I don't think he'll wait that long to make his decision. I think he'll make it either on September the 2nd or shortly after. In other words, once officially the direct talks start is when I believe and I expect him to make his announcement and his decision. But even going to direct talks within the Palestinian community is a real issue, because all of the Palestinian groups except for Mahmoud Abbas and Fatah in the Palestinian Executive Committee, they've all said we are against direct talks. So in order for Mahmoud Abbas and Fatah to continue to have credibility among the Palestinians, there needs to be an agreement on a Palestinian state, or else, in what is the case now, all of the Palestinian groups are against Mahmoud Abbas for having direct talks. So he's got a crisis within his own peoples that needs to be resolved, given that situation. Meanwhile, Netanyahu faces a crisis within his government as well, because there is a faction within Netanyahu's own Likud party that is being led by Danny Danone, but there are others as well, who are stating that we promised the voters that we would be against the Palestinian state and we would continue building in Judea and Samaria, or the West Bank, as well as East Jerusalem. Therefore, Danny Danone is leading the effort in saying that if Netanyahu extends the freeze, that they will begin the process to oppose him. And the extension of the freeze could threaten Netanyahu's present coalition. However, the Kadima party, which is headed by Zippy Livni and currently in the opposition, they have stated that if the government of Israel goes forward with and seeks to have a peace agreement with the Palestinians, they would support the government. And in supporting the government, then it would not collapse. Now, Israel has a parliamentary government system, which means every Monday they are allowed to vote no confidence in the government. So the government could collapse every Monday, theoretically, if there is not enough votes to continue the government. And so in the past, when Netanyahu was prime minister, his government did collapse over negotiating with the Palestinians. This time, with the support of Kadima, he could go forward pleasing the United States and the international community and not collapse his government, but it would cause a rebellion in the right wing of the Israeli government. And ultimately, in order to bring about the biblical state of Zion, which is prophesied to happen during the tribulation, according to Isaiah 66 in Revelation in chapter 12, there will be a right-wing revolt against the Israeli government regarding the peace process and the creation of a Palestinian state with East Jerusalem as its capital. So the decision that the Israeli government and Benjamin Netanyahu makes regarding the settlement freeze is going to determine whether the direct talks continue. It's going to determine whether the Palestinians refuse to continue the talks. It's going to determine whether Netanyahu is going to have a rebellion within his own government on the right wing, and whether Kadima is willing to support the peace process if Netanyahu chooses to continue the freeze. So, regarding this process itself, we are at the crossroads, because if the talks do not go forward, then Israel's enemies, Hamas, Hezbollah, Lebanon, Syria, and Iran, are armed and are prepared to go to war with Israel at any moment. And so we have the possibility of negotiations leading to an agreement on the borders of a Palestinian state that could happen as we go forward in 2010. And at the same time, we have the possibility of war breaking out as well. Now, there's a connection to the two possibilities, because in Joel, in chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, I will gather all nations and bring them in the valley. Jehoshaphat, I will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they scattered among the nations and parted or divided my land. That's the prophecy of the dividing of the land. But then it says in verse 9, proclaim this among the Gentiles, prepare for war. So as the nations are dividing the land, the prophecy is to tell the nations to prepare for war. And we are seeing the preparations of war in the Middle East. And so if the direct talks don't go forward, we could have the war by the end of the year. And if there is a war, that's going to delay getting back to the negotiating table. Could delay it another year or two, possibly, just depending upon how the war actually plays out. So if the Obama administration desires to see a peace agreement first, they must do everything possible to try to get these talks to succeed, which means Netanyahu's decision regarding the settlement freeze is critically important. So we are at the crossroads. A decision has to be made regarding which road is going to be taken. And that decision is going to be made as soon as this coming week and as long as a month from now through September the 26th. And so that's basically the overview of the articles that I'm now going to share with you. The first is from Haaretz, August the 22nd. The headline is, Netanyahu says we can surprise the doubters to reach a historic peace agreement. Israel and the Palestinians have a chance to surprise the world and strike a peace deal to end decades of conflict, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said on Sunday. We can surprise all the doubters, Netanyahu told ministers at the beginning of the weekly cabinet meeting in Jerusalem. But we need a serious partner, he said. If we have a serious partner, we can achieve a historic agreement. Netanyahu desires, in going forward with the direct talks, to have face-to-face talks with the Palestinians and Mahmoud Abbas every 2 weeks. From the Jerusalem Post, August the 26th, Netanyahu said leaders need to agree on core issues, with teams left to fill in the details. Yitzhak Molko to be the chief negotiator in the meetings between the teams. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will propose next week at the launching of direct talks with the Palestinian Authority in Washington that he and Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas meet every 2 weeks and come to an agreement on the principal issues that will then be fleshed out by smaller negotiating teams. Netanyahu, who convened a meeting of his top advisors Thursday night to prepare for next week's talk, said that serious negotiations in the Middle East require direct, discreet, and continuous talks between the leaders on the key issues. That is why I am suggesting that the talks be conducted in this fashion. At the Thursday meeting, Netanyahu said he would personally conduct the negotiations with Abbas, and that his point man on the Palestinian issue, Yitzhak Molko, would be the chief negotiator in the meetings between the teams. He said he wanted a small negotiating team to conduct a swift, thorough, and serious talks. So at least Netanyahu's political position, swift, thorough, and serious. Now, with this idea of Netanyahu, that once the direct talks start, they're supposed to kick off September the 2nd in Washington, that there be face-to-face talks every 2 weeks. Here today, Saab Erekat of the Palestinians said he rejects the idea of these direct talks every 2 weeks if Israel does not agree to extend the settlement freeze in the West Bank and make it apply to East Jerusalem as well. Now, in the article of August the 22nd in the Jerusalem Post, this article states that Netanyahu's government will not be threatened for now. But, you know, a few days later, perhaps that changed. But first, this article. None of the right-wing parties in Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's coalition expressed opposition on Sunday to restarting diplomatic talks with the Palestinian Authority. And the far right inside his Likud party said there would be no protests. Israel Beiteinu leader, that is Avigdor Lieberman, who opposed indirect talks with the Palestinians, has endorsed the direct negotiations and even insisted on his foreign ministry being represented on the negotiating team. Habayit Hayudi head Daniel Hershkowitz downplayed the talks, noting that history has proven that when Israel stretches out its hand, the Palestinians unceremoniously reject it. Shas chairman Eli Yishai, who threatened to quit former Prime Minister Ehud Olmert's government if Jerusalem was raised in diplomatic talks, has not insisted that Netanyahu refuse to speak about Jerusalem's fate with Mahmoud Abbas. The two discussed the talks on Sunday, but their offices declined to provide details. Inside Netanyahu's Likud party, far-right activist Moshe Feiglin said that unlike in past talks with the Palestinians going back to the Oslo Accords, he would not be leading a public battle against the government. He said he would also not try to exploit the Likud institutions to fight against Netanyahu. Netanyahu cannot be stopped via a Likud Central Committee meeting this time, Feiglin said. This is much bigger than the Likud. The public has been lulled into thinking it is inevitable that the Iranians will have a bomb, and the Palestinians will have a state, and the Likud members are no different. So that article on August the 22nd states that Netanyahu doesn't have to worry about his government collapsing. Yet, 2 days later on Ynet News, August the 24th, the headline is Likud Hawks Convene Against a Freeze. With the Washington Peace Summit a mere week away, Likud members who are right off the party's political line are gearing for several protests meant to ensure Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu knows his party will not abide the continuous suspension of settlement activity. Members of the Likud right wing have decided to hold a protest rally while Netanyahu is in Washington. Several senior Likud and Knesset members are expected to take part in it. Meanwhile, the Yesha Council, that is the council that oversees the West Bank, is planning a public campaign titled Promises Are Meant to Be Kept, referring to Netanyahu's pledge that the settlement freeze will end by September the 26th. On this date, a tour of Samaria will be held for Likud members around the country. Hundreds of buses full of Likud members are expected to attend. Knesset member Danny Danon, who is spearheading the Likud's fight against the building moratorium, said Netanyahu cannot rely on Likud member Dan Meridor and Labor Party member and Defense Minister Ehud Barak for his coalition to survive. We must remember this and remember what the Likud's position is. That is, what it stated its position was in the last Israeli elections. Danny Danone was not the only one to speak out against the continuation of the moratorium on Tuesday. Likud ministers, including Limor Lifnot and Yuli Edelstein, have already expressed their opposition to the possibility that the building freeze will continue during negotiations. We must be prepared for the end of the freeze such that there is no way that it will be possible to continue it after September the 26th. Not as a de facto freeze, nor as consent by keeping silent, said Minister Lifnot on Tuesday during a tour of the West Bank settlement of Efrat. Minister Edelstein said during a conference held at the Interdisciplinary Center in Herzliya, "It is a mistake to adopt a policy of foregoing our positions in withdrawal so that we will be liked in the world. Legitimization is granted only for a few days, and then hostility returns to its old ways. Past actions prove that this is a mistake. This is also true regarding the freeze issue raised recently." So, on August the 22nd, it was mentioned that Netanyahu's government wouldn't collapse, but 2 days later, there are those within his own political party who wants to protest if Netanyahu decides to extend the settlement freeze. And then, in an article from earthtimes.org on August the 24th, it says Netanyahu does face his government collapsing by extending a settlement freeze. Israeli Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman Thursday threatened his ultra-nationalist Israel Beitenu party would quit the government coalition if Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu extends the freeze on settlement building. The statement reported Tuesday in an Israeli newspaper came after the last week's announcement of the start of new direct talks between Israel and the Palestinians, for which the Palestinians demand an extension of the moratorium. Lieberman had warned Netanyahu that his party would not agree to renewing the freeze, even if this only applied to isolated settlements, the report said. Lieberman has said in decisive terms that Israel Beitenu will not be a part of a process in which Israel capitulates to the Palestinians' demands and extends the freeze. If the freeze is extended, we are unequivocally out of the government. If Israel Beitenu leaves the government, then the government could collapse. August 24th from Ynet News. The United States says that the direct talks should begin with discussing the settlement freeze. The White House announced that the issue of the continuation of the imposed construction moratorium on the West Bank settlements will be discussed at the start of direct talks between Israel and the Palestinians in Washington. Settlements are an important issue, and we expect to address settlements as well as the other crucial final status issues within the context of the negotiations, said State Department spokesman Philip Crowley. On August the 24th, from Haaretz, the headline is, "The United States warns Israel, refrain from harming the peace talks." That means extend the settlement freeze. The Obama administration expects Israel to refrain from making any move that could potentially damage peace talks with the Palestinians once they begin. United States Middle East envoy George Mitchell has told Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. In recent days, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has made clear that if Israel renews building in West Bank settlements after a 10-month freeze on settlement construction, the Palestinian Authority will abandon the direct peace talks. A senior American official well-versed in the latest contacts between the U.S. and Israel refused to say whether Mitchell's message explicitly mentioned the future of settlement building. The official said that the U.S. position on the settlements is already known and has not changed. He clarified by saying that the U.S. views Israeli settlement building as illegitimate. The Palestinians view Israeli settlement as illegitimate. The United States views it as illegitimate. The European Union views it as illegitimate. And Netanyahu has to make a decision regarding it. And there's a possibility if he decides to extend it and causing a crisis with the United States in Europe, that there'll be a rebellion in his government. And so he has a very important decision to make. August the 24th, Ynet News. Israel and the U.S. to hold talks over construction and settlements. Israeli officials confirmed Monday that the government is in quiet talks with the United States in search of, catch this, a creative solution that will allow at least some limited construction to take place after Israel's 10-month moratorium ends on September the 26th. So, what is this creative solution? That's what the next article is about. August the 26th, UPI.com. Netanyahu mauls settlement building policy. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has reached an understanding with the U.S. administration on limiting West Bank settlement construction. Netanyahu has agreed that construction will be permitted to settlement blocks that Israel does not intend to evacuate in the framework of a permanent peace deal with the Palestinians, but it will refrain from building in the settlements that are not regarded as the settlement blocks that Israel intends to retain in a peace agreement. In recent days, Netanyahu held discussions with his advisors and U.S. officials on Israel's policy in the settlements after a 10-month construction freeze expires on September the 26th. A senior U.S. official told the Israeli Prime Minister that construction should be permitted in the settlements Israel has no plans to evacuate. So this appears to be what Israel is working to announce with, apparently, the approval of the United States. However, that position, I'm willing to say, will be unacceptable to the Palestinians. So it will be interesting to see exactly how it plays out. The next article, August the 26th from Haaretz. As Netanyahu prepares for direct talks, ministers get all heated up over a possible settlement freeze. A week before Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is scheduled to depart for the Washington summit, during which direct talks between Israel and the Palestinians will be started, Israeli ministers and Knesset members are engaging in intense debate over the possibility of continuing the 10-month settlement construction freeze, which expires September the 26th. A senior minister who belongs to Netanyahu's inner cabinet called the Forum of Seven, which Netanyahu consults on important matters, said yesterday, it is likely that the cabinet will ultimately adopt the compromise put forth by Dan Meridor, which Danny Danone opposes. The deputy prime minister has proposed that Israel resume construction in settlement blocks in areas close to the separation fence come September, but extend the freeze in areas that are unlikely to remain under Israeli control after a peace deal is reached, such as isolated settlements. A number of ministers said yesterday that the government is likely to adopt this idea and were confident that it would not undermine the coalition or lead to a crisis. However, while some ministers have made it clear that they will oppose any deal that would undermine settlement construction, others expressed opinions that may serve as a basis of understanding with the Palestinians. the Shah's party. How do I have a low battery if I'm plugged in? My computer says I have a low battery, which says I'm not plugged in, but I do have it plugged in. No, this is my thing that it says I have a low connection. Well, hopefully it's lying to me. I got it plugged in. It should be charging. Sorry about that, folks, for the update here. Well, if I go out, it's because it's saying that I have a low battery, but I got it plugged into the wall. So if that happens, that's the reason why. But hopefully it won't, all right? So let me continue on where it says Shah's, which is an Orthodox Jewish right-wing party in Israel, is expected to strongly oppose any freeze in construction. Israel Beitenu, which is the party of Avigdor Lieberman, the foreign minister, which is considered more right-wing, is expected to put regarding the settlement freeze. Minister said yesterday that if the Israel Beitenu chairman, foreign minister Avigdor Lieberman, sticks to his current schedule to end September 26th, he said construction should resume in the settlement blocks and that any building in other settlements would be permitted only to meet natural growth. So the difference between what he is saying and what apparently Netanyahu and the U.S. is discussing is there would be no building in the settlements which are not a part of the large settlement blocks, but Lieberman's saying there should be natural growth building. Now the next article now is August the 22nd from Haaretz. And these articles are going to focus on what Netanyahu said earlier in the week, what should be the initial focus of the talks. I just shared with you that the United States says we need to first talk about settlements. But before that was mentioned, Netanyahu said we need to first talk about security. So the headline is direct talks to focus on security issues before borders. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu intends to lead the direct negotiation with the Palestinians due to be inaugurated in Washington on September the 2nd. Netanyahu said he plans to focus on security arrangements before addressing final borders. Speaking behind closed doors, Netanyahu said the success of the talks will hinge on understandings between the leaders. I will want to reach agreed principles with the Palestinian leadership, and there will be no need for many teams of negotiators and hundreds of meetings. If I get the security that will ensure that no missiles will fall on Tel Aviv, it will be possible to move quickly toward a comprehensive arrangement. Netanyahu said during his meetings he wants to discuss security issues with the Palestinians first. Only then would the two sides focus on borders of a future Palestinian state. From CNN.com, the headline is, Netanyahu said security is vital to a lasting peace. Israeli Prime Minister said Sunday that talks with the Palestinians will only lead to a lasting peace deal if the Palestinians guarantee security and recognizes that Israel is the nation state of the Jewish people, or in other words, recognize it as a Jewish state. Benjamin Netanyahu's comments came 2 days after U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said direct peace talks between the two would resume. What we are talking about is a peace agreement between Israel and a demilitarized Palestinian state, Netanyahu said at a weekly cabinet meeting. Security, recognizing Israel as the nation state of the Jewish people, and ending the conflict are the three first layers that would guarantee a true peace agreement, an agreement that could last for generations, he said. Next, we're going to look at some issues regarding internal politics. among the Palestinians. The first, we're going to see from August the 21st, Jerusalem Post, that the Palestinian faction slam Mahmoud Abbas. The Palestinian Authority's decision to negotiate directly with Israel drew strong condemnation over the weekend for most of the Palestinian factions whose leaders and spokesmen accused Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas of surrendering to American and Israeli pressure. A Palestinian official in Ramallah, meanwhile, confirmed that the Palestinians did not receive any assurances from the U.S. as to what the direct talks would lead to. The official also said the Palestinians did not receive any guarantees that Israel would halt construction in areas populated by Jews in East Jerusalem. All we have is a promise from the U.S. administration and the Europeans that the talks would lead to a two-state solution, the official told the Jerusalem Post. Asked why the Palestinians had dropped its condition for launching direct talks with Israel, the official explained the Palestinians faced unprecedented and immense pressure from the Americans and some Europeans. We were not able to resist the pressure. As a result, we agreed to direct talks. As a result of Mahmoud Abbas and Fatah agreeing to direct talks, Hamas has canceled a unity meeting with Fatah. Hamas, who controls the Gaza, postponed a meeting with Fatah, that is, under Mahmoud Abbas, indefinitely on Sunday due to the Palestinians' decision to enter direct talks with Israel. The meeting, which was supposed to take place on Saturday night, was meant to address the obstacles to unity between the two groups. The next article, August the 26th, from the Jerusalem Post, radical groups demand that Mahmoud Abbas resign. A day after Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas urged Israel to take advantage of this historic opportunity to achieve peace via the imminent direct negotiations, Hamas and 10 other radical Palestinian groups on Thursday demanded that he resign because of his failure to resist heavy American and Israeli pressure to abandon his preconditions for the talks. The resignation call was issued following a meeting of the group's heads in Damascus, Syria. From Ynet News, August 22nd, the Palestinians say that the direct talks are doomed to fail. Authority officials claim U.S. did not give any guarantees on continuation of settlement construction freeze, and they claim the Palestinians will look to the United Nations next year for recognition of an independent state. Palestinian Authority said the direct peace negotiations will collapse if Israel resumes construction in the West Bank settlements. Palestinian sources told Ynet Saturday evening that if the direct talks are accompanied by an Israeli announcement on the resumption of settlement construction after the moratorium expires on September the 26th, the image of the authority and the PLO will suffer a devastating blow and the peace process will be significantly hindered. According to the sources, American officials have claimed that even if Israel announces the resumption of construction, no new construction projects are expected in Jerusalem and the West Bank communities located outside the settlement blocks. However, the sources said Washington did not offer the Palestinian any guarantees in this regard. Israel has also denied claims that the U.S. had promised the Palestinians that the settlement construction freeze would continue and that a Palestinian state would be established within the 67 borders. Despite Washington's announcement on the beginning of direct talks on September the 2nd, Palestinian officials said the PLO has no intentions of joining the negotiations before September the 26th. Negotiations might begin, but as far as we're concerned, their continuation, or at least their nature, will be determined by Israel's actions after September the 26th, a Palestinian source said. Israeli actions that would embarrass the Palestinians or put it in a difficult position domestically would result in a similar behavior on part of the Palestinians and perhaps cause them to suspend the negotiations, according to the source. It appears that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will negotiate directly with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. The talks will cover the core issues, including the borders of a future Palestinian state, Palestinian refugees in Jerusalem. The Palestinians does not believe the talks will have any concrete results, but hopes the process may bring it closer to the international community and perhaps lead the UN Security Council to recognize it as an independent state. We will try to avoid any confrontation so that by August of next year we will be able to put a Palestinian state with its established institutions on the UN Security Council and World Powers agenda so that for the first time in history they will accept their responsibility for the Palestinians, one official said. The next article, August the 23rd, from the Jerusalem Post, the Palestinians say they will quit talks if building resumes. The Palestinians will withdraw from the planned direct talks with Israel if construction in the settlements continues, Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas said on Sunday. Abbas's threat came in a letter he dispatched to the members of the Mideast Quartet, that is the U.S., Russia, the European Union, and the United Nations. So Mahmoud Abbas sent a letter to the quartet saying that if the settlement freeze is not extended, they will not continue talks. The document was delivered to representatives of the quartet by Chief Palestinian Negotiator Saab Erekat. In the letter, Abbas urged the quartet members to abide by resolutions of the UN pertaining to the Israeli-Arab conflict, the principles of the 1991 Madrid Peace Conference, the 2002 Roadmap, and the 2002 and 2007 Arab Peace Initiative. Abbas's letter is seen in part as an attempt to reassure critics that he hasn't abandoned his conditions for negotiating directly with Israel. With the exception of Abbas loyalists in the PLO and Fatah, all Palestinian factions, including Hamas and Islamic Jihad, have strongly condemned the Palestinian Authority's decision to hold direct talks. Hundreds of Palestinian political figures and organizations have signed a petition warning Abbas against succumbing to American and Israeli pressure to drop his conditions for direct talks. And then the next article from All Headline News, August the 23rd, the PLO accuses Netanyahu of sabotaging direct peace talks. A Palestinian official has accused Israeli Premier Benjamin Netanyahu of sabotaging direct peace talks even before they actually resume. Palestinian Liberation Organization Executive Committee member Wazal Youssef said that Netanyahu's preconditions that the Palestinians must recognize his country as the state of Jews were a setback to the talks before they even resumed. Abu Youssef said that the Palestinians would reject any such Israeli demand because recognizing Israel as a Jewish state was a deal breaker. So, let me summarize again the present situation. It's very controversial. With the internal Palestinian politics, only the Fatah, and they said through intense pressure by the United States and the European Union, did they agree to direct talks. All the other Palestinian factions do not want the direct talks. Both Fatah and the other Palestinian groups say that they're against extending. They are against Israel building in the West Bank, and they want an extension of the settlement freeze. That if Israel does not extend the settlement freeze, they will quit the direct talks. Netanyahu says that in the direct talks, we need to first talk about security, and the Palestinians must recognize Israel as a Jewish state. Meanwhile, the Palestinians said, no, if we have to recognize Israel as a Jewish state, then we won't have talks. The United States says, well, in the direct talks, we need to first settle the settlement issue. And the United States says the settlements are illegitimate. So does the Palestinians. But it's being reported that a creative solution regarding the settlements is being discussed between Israel and the United States, that Israel will extend the settlement freeze in the large settlement blocks which Israel intends to keep as a Palestinian state, that Israel intends to keep an agreement for a Palestinian state under Israeli control, but extend the freeze to all the other areas. Now, that, meanwhile, is going to be unacceptable to the Palestinians. So Netanyahu is at a crossroads regarding this, and within his own political party, the Likud, there are those who are saying that if Netanyahu announces an extension of the settlement freeze, that they will rebel against him. Lieberman proposes that there will be natural growth in the non-large settlement blocks. Meanwhile, Netanyahu is not proposing that. So it remains to be seen that if Netanyahu proposes that the non-large settlement blocks, that there is a continuation of the freeze, will Israel Batenu leave the government? And if Israel Batenu leaves the government, will Shaz leave the government? And if both leave the government, will the government collapse? Or will Kadima come in and join the government? Kadima is currently the opposition party headed by Zippy Livni. So, once again, major decisions have to be made that will have major consequences, and it appears to me that that decision will have to be made once the direct talks start. And also, the United States and Europe will have to weigh in on their position regarding the process as well. So the delay in seeing how things are going to play out, I believe, is over. Critical decisions will have to be made that determines the future of the talks. And now the next article I'm going to share with you is from Debka File, and it's being reported that Israel had an agreement with the United States that the United States is now reneging on. So the headline is, Clinton upholds the deal with Israel, but Obama reneges regarding the nuclear plant in Iran and Palestinian issues. Now, if Obama really did renege, that is a telltale sign regarding what he's going to come out and his position is going to be regarding the dispute in the peace process. Washington sources report Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is misleading his ministers by presenting the direct talks opening with the Palestinians as a diplomatic victory. He has omitted to disclose that the Obama administration has reneged on the secret deals for paving the way to the talks it concluded with Netanyahu's senior aides Yitzhak Molko and Uzi Arad. Part of the deal was for Israel to line up with the Obama administration's non-reaction to Iran's activation of the Russian-built nuclear reactor at Bushehr last Saturday, August the 21st. The U.S. promised, for its part, to deliver the Palestinians to the negotiating table for direct talks after dropping their preconditions. But most of all, the secret deal obliged Obama to refrain from twisting Israel's arm on behalf of the Palestinians should the dialogue fail, as it's widely expected to do. With this deal in the bag, Netanyahu was able to showcase the Obama administration's endorsement of his diplomatic strategy and rejection of Palestinian demands. However, the deal was shown to have sprung a leak in the formal announcements in the United States on August the 20th, Debka File discloses. Whereas Secretary of State Hillary Clinton made an announcement that turned down a last-minute White House demand to insert the phrase in her announcement that the United States could offer bridging proposals if necessary, the euphemistic phrase turned up in Special Presidential Envoy George Mitchell's remarks, elaborating on the Clinton statement. The U.S. sources consulted by Debka File Monday, August the 23rd, made no bones about White House intentions. These bridging proposals referred to Obama's views on the most intractable disputes at issue between Israel and the Palestinians, final borders, Jerusalem, and Israel's security demands. They would be put forward as friendly gestures to lift the talks out of a ditch, but Israel would be left in not doubt that it must bow. Israel would be left in no doubt that it must bow to the U.S. president's proposal or else. So there you have it. Deb Kefaya is reporting a secret deal between U.S. and Israel that Obama is reneging on. And the deal was that Israel would not be blamed if the talks failed. And so whether Obama upholds that or not, of course, is one of the other things that remains to be seen as well. So we are now in a elevated way, the controversy of Zion that is prophesied in Isaiah 34, verse 8. So that concludes the articles to show you the different angles of the current situation regarding the peace process. And in order to understand how things are developing, I believe it was critical to show you the different angles and the different views of the various parties so that you could understand the decisions that will be made here shortly, the reasons behind the decisions, so you'll understand the reactions by the various parties as well. Now, the last two articles is regarding Iran and the nuclear issue. The first is from the Jerusalem Post, and the article is from August the 26th. The headline is, Iran program is a threat. Former UN nuclear chief says Iran is a year away from building 1 to 2 bombs. Iran has enough low-enriched uranium to produce 1 to 2 nuclear weapons, but it would not be logical for it to cross the bomb-making threshold, said former UN Chief of Nuclear Inspections Ali Honanen in an interview with Le Monde Thursday, which was cited by Reuters. Honanen called Iran's nuclear program a threat in a rare public interview given shortly before he stepped down from his position as Deputy Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency. Honanen was head of the IAEA's nuclear safeguard arm, which monitor countries' nuclear programs to make sure they are intended for peaceful use. Honanen left his position in August for personal reasons. So, a former UN chief says Iran could have 1 to 3 bombs in a year. Now, the last article for the update, August the 25th, is from Naarnet, and the headline is, U.S. to use all options to stop a nuclear Iran. Israel is in favor of strikes to weaken Hezbollah and Hamas. Pentagon and U.S. officials have uncovered an understanding between Washington and Israel that commits Israel not to undertake any unilateral military action against Iran in return for a U.S. pledge to abandon the policy of accepting a nuclear Iran and to deal with Iran as a nuclear military power. A Arab newspaper was quoted on Tuesday. It quoted a senior Pentagon official as saying that the United States finds it very difficult to live with a regime such as that in Iran, equipped with the capacity to produce nuclear weapons. The official's remarks came during a closed-door security conference recently held in Washington. It was attended by military officials as well as U.S. and world experts. This reflects a radical change in the course of U.S. policy, which has shown willingness to accept a nuclear Iran as part of a deal to prevent Iran from using its nuclear capability to threaten or blackmail the West or its neighbors. Raed Kawali wrote, who is a researcher on strategic affairs, he said Israel had adamantly opposed this policy and stressed that Iran must not have any capability to enrich or produce uranium, so as not to have the ability to transform its nuclear program for military purposes whenever it wants. Therefore, the report said, Washington and the West's fundamental conditions today to negotiate with Iran focus on stripping Iran of its ability to produce or enrich uranium, which is something strongly rejected by Iran. In the quarters of the United States and other European capitals in Israel, war scenarios are being discussed as if war with Iran is inevitable, Kawi noted, despite opposition by quite a few military officials and politicians in the U.S., in the West, due to the uncertainties of war, which could be catastrophic for the region and U.S. interests. Despite disagreement on several points in the scenarios of war, the report goes on to say many experts and officials still agree on other points, including the idea of provoking war by attempting to inspect a ship in the Gulf waters or provoke Hezbollah into a gun battle in Lebanon. The main point of disagreement between the U.S. and Israel and experts in the scenarios of war relates how to deal with Iran's allies, namely Syria, Hezbollah, and Hamas. Israel leaders are in favor of preemptive strikes to weaken Hezbollah and Hamas, and perhaps Syria before attacking Iran. U.S. officials and experts prefer crushing Iran first and deal a heavy military blow to Iran in hope of shaking its ability to move and to sow fear among its allies, who will recognize the fact that war is real and that the future of their presence is at stake if they choose to support Iran. Many U.S. officials believe that the current policy of openness towards Syria will bear fruit through weakening the strategic alliance with Iran. And Israel, however, considers such a policy as doomed to fail and continues to prepare for future war in the Golan Heights, the report said. So in addition to the sticky situation with the peace process, there is deals being worked on between Israel and the United States, and even disagreements in approach regarding how to handle Iran. And this article is reporting that consensus is coming that there does need to be war with Iran. But there's a disagreement between Israel and the United States that when war would be initiated with Iran, whether Israel should first try to weaken Hezbollah and Syria and Hamas before the attack takes place, whereas the United States, and that will cause Hezbollah and Hamas and Syria to not want to go to war with Israel when they see that they can't lean on Iran for support. So the political situation is very interesting. And I want to remind you that war with Iran is a tribulation event. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 6, 17, and 19. Well, with a little bit of editing because of our technical problems here, this is going to conclude this week's 5-Minute Update. Pray it's been a blessing to you, and I pray that together we will continue to be watchmen on the wall, because the situation is very serious and we're at the crossroads, and critical decisions are going to be made here in the next week or so regarding the direct talks that will have major ramifications regarding how things will be going forward. And so, until we do it again, Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.